to be generous seldom are, in my experience. A donor needs to be sufficiently motivated. Acacia smiled. They need to see value and purpose in donating to charity.
You missed your calling. You should have gone into philanthropy.
Acacia's smile widened. We can all do our part to help others, no matter our occupation. The guest frowned. Is something wrong, monsieur?
You're very different from the concierges I usually deal with. You mentioned yesterday you speak several languages. How many?
Six.
Monsieur Breckman looked impressed.
And they are? French, Portuguese, English, Spanish, Russian, and Arabic.
Arabic?
The guest repeated. Why Arabic?
Acacia's response was a reflex.
Arabic is important in the service industry in Paris.
And you studied art at the Sorbonne?
Yes.
Acacia had no intention of expanding on her response. For a moment, she contemplated mentioning Marcel's journal. It was possible it contained private and unflattering things pertaining to Monsieur Breckman and other guests. If the contents of the journal were made public, it could be embarrassing for him. But then he spoke.
How old are you?
She turned to her laptop and pressed a few buttons.
Monsieur, I don't think...
He interrupted her. I could find out through other means, but I'm giving you the courtesy of asking directly. How old are you?
35.
Acacia's words were clipped. She drew a deep breath through her nose and fought the urge to squirm.
35,
he repeated, as if the number were a revelation.
Then you wouldn't have been at the Sorbonne at the same time as...
He rearranged his position in the chair.
I've decided to extend my stay. Since Marcel is unavailable, I thought I'd avail myself of your services. How can I assist you?
Acacia positioned her pen over her open journal. The man consulted his expensive wristwatch.
I want a new bespoke suit. Would you like to visit the tailor, or have him see you in your suite?
Have him come here. Tell him I'm looking for a black suit, and I'd like it finished in time for a dinner engagement this evening. Acacia restrained a laugh and resisted the urge to point out that he already possessed at least two black suits, according to her observations.
I'm sorry, but a respectable Parisian tailor will require at least two fittings and a minimum of 70 hours of work. Some of the tailors require more.
Really? The man tried to sound surprised, but failed.
Monsieur Roy made it sound as if you were a miracle worker. I'm a concierge, not a saint.
The guest's eyes took on a new intensity.
Nor am I, mademoiselle. I assure you.
Acacia felt something flare between them, a spark of attraction or warning. She wasn't sure which. She lowered her gaze.
I can recommend a couple of tailors from Rue de la Paix, and you can choose. Or would you prefer I choose for you?
You choose, but pick the best. I'm in need of a couple of custom shirts and a new tie as well. I'd like the tailor to get started as soon as possible. I'm not sure how long I'll be in Paris.
Acacia recorded his requests in her journal. I shall do my best, monsieur.
I'm sure you will. He looked as if he were resisting the urge to smile.
Will there be anything else? Do you require dinner reservations? Or would you like tickets for a show or to a museum?
The guest grew thoughtful.
There may be one or two other things. It would be my pleasure.
The man scowled.
I don't see how this could give anyone pleasure.
You speak six languages and studied art at the Sorbonne. Wouldn't you rather be employed in the art world, not being abused by racists? He waved at her uniform. Or trotted around as a minion to the manager? I fail to see how someone with your intelligence and education could be content to work in such an environment.
His speech pierced her. Anger, hot and violent, burned in her middle.
A torrent of ugly words stood gated at the back of her throat. He had no idea. No idea why she did what she did. Or that she had an exit strategy. She clutched her pen so tightly she thought it might break. The man's gaze fixated on her pen. his expression morphing from displeasure to something else. Acacia focused on her breathing, a technique she'd learned through her martial arts training, and moved her hand to her lap. As she breathed, she noticed Monsieur Ra had chosen that moment to walk through the lobby. She was grateful she hadn't given voice to the anger fighting to escape her pursed lips. The manager nodded at Monsieur Breckman, who returned his nod, and disappeared in the direction of the marble courtyard, seemingly unaware of Acacia's show of temper. "I spoke without thinking." The guest's voice was low. Acacia kept her hand and her pen in her lap. She avoided his eyes.
"You had additional requests?"
"Mademoiselle."
"Monsieur?"
She took a deep breath. The guest placed his hand flat on the desk, next to her open journal.
"Acacia, I apologize."
She visualized her anger as a wave, watching in her mind's eye as it retreated with the outgoing tide. She felt her body begin to relax. She lifted her pen to the journal and waited. In her peripheral vision, she could see the guest move his hand, bypassing his scar to rub at his forehead.
"Everything about this visit has gone straight to hell, first Silke, then Marcel."
Now Acacia's eyes ventured to meet his.
"I apologize," he repeated firmly. "You've been nothing but professional in the face of ugliness, mademoiselle. I'm sorry to have contributed to that ugliness. It's not who I am."
There was something open about his expression at that moment. The man looked contrite. Acacia glanced up at Rick, who didn't bother making eye contact. She wondered what he'd do if she spoke to him directly. She wondered what he'd say if she dared criticize his employer.
"The Victoire is very fortunate to have you," the guest continued. "I doubt they realize precisely how fortunate."
Acacia ignored his compliment.
"I'll be sure to make arrangements with the tailor. Now, if there isn't anything else..."
"A round of drinks for you and the staff, with my compliments."
Acacia's eyes widened.
"That isn't necessary."
"It is."
Monsieur Breckman's tone was firm. Acacia elected not to argue with him. A gift of drinks for the staff would certainly improve morale in the wake of the attack on Marcel.
"I'll make arrangements with the bar."
"Thank you."
The guest smoothed the silk of his tie.
"Out of curiosity, have you ever received a request you were unable to satisfy?"
"A guest once asked if I could provide a bespoke suit in a couple of hours."
He grinned, and his smile almost obliterated his scar.
"Touché."
"You mentioned you have a dinner engagement this evening. Will you be needing a table here at the hotel, or would you like me to make a reservation elsewhere?"
"I believe my associate has already made arrangements."
He gazed at her thoughtfully.
"There's one more thing I'd like you to help me with."
"Yes?"
"In my travels, I've been searching for a relic of St. Teresa of Avila. I'd like you to acquire one for me."
Acacia's mouth fell open. She shut her mouth quickly and recorded the request, deciding she would not be mentioning Marcel's missing journal.
"Can you help me?"
His eyes were searching. Acacia kept her expression neutral.
"I will research the matter and present the options to you."
The man's face showed signs of admiration.
"Thank you. That's all for now."
He stood and buttoned his suit jacket. She looked up at him.
"Monsieur, as I mentioned yesterday, I was unable to find any notes from Marcel on your meeting. Were you able to discover the details?"
He looked over his shoulder swiftly, so swiftly he turned back to Acacia before she'd even realized he'd moved. He placed his hands on top of the concierge desk and leaned over her.
"Forget about the meeting,"
he barked in a whisper.
"Don't mention it again, to anyone."
Acacia moved her chair back, out of reach of the guest's long arms. Rick grabbed his employer's elbow. Evidently, his touch was enough to capture the guest's attention. He withdrew immediately. Monsieur Breckman smoothed his hair back from his forehead and adjusted the sleeves of his suit. He marched through the lobby toward the rear of the hotel, his security detail forming an impenetrable wall around him. Rick glanced over his shoulder, his eyes trained on Acacia. She was frozen in place. A guest had never threatened her before. There was no mistaking his tone or the look in his eyes. The fact that Rick had to intervene made the situation all the more menacing. Acacia didn't waste any time. She ensured no one was watching her before leaning over to retrieve the item from under the desk. It took several tries to dislodge it, as it had been attached to the drawer with wide, sticky tape. Acacia placed the item in a file folder, away from potentially prying eyes. She carried the file folder to the staff room and barricaded herself in the adjacent bathroom. Only then did she examine the contents. It was a leather-bound journal, remarkably like the one she owned. She undid the clasp on the cover and opened it. On the flyleaf, in Marcel's handwriting, was his full name and contact information. Her thoughts moved to her colleague, lying unconscious in the hospital. She leafed to the last page. There was an entry that included today's date and the following words. Breckman, 10 p.m., important, V. Acacia scanned the previous entries and searched for any reference to Pierre Breckman. He was named, along with Silke Reynier, but there was nothing unusual in Marcel's notes. Just remarks about breakfast preferences, an allergy to strawberries, the gifts Marcel had been asked to procure for Silke, and a dinner invitation at Guy Savoy's. There was no indication as to who Breckman was supposed to be meeting that evening at 10 o'clock, unless one of the person's initials was a V. What was Marcel doing? And why was he attacked? Monsieur Breckman might have threatened her, but he couldn't control her thoughts. And at that moment, she was thinking the connection between him and Marcel was something sinister. Chapter 6 Hotel Victoire was a 5-star hotel that enjoyed an excellent reputation and attracted a wealthy clientele. However, some of its guests took pleasure in testing the concierges with ridiculous requests, simply for amusement. Monsieur Breckman's need for a relic of St. Teresa appeared to be one of those requests. Acacia wasn't in the mood to devote her time and attention to indulging him, especially since he'd threatened her. Instead, she spent most of her day assisting guests with genuine needs. During her breaks, she hid in the staff room, poring over Marcel's journal. To her frustration, she found nothing out of the ordinary. Many of his entries were written sparsely, with full names and details omitted. Since she didn't know what she was looking for, the search seemed hopeless. At the very end of the day, she turned her attention to relics. Some of the relics of St. Teresa were housed in Avila, while some were housed in the town of Alba de Tormes. The church would never sell the first-class relics. However, one could acquire a third-class relic, a piece of cloth that had been touched to a first-class relic, quite easily. Somehow, Acacia knew a piece of cloth was not what Monsieur Breckman had in mind. At the end of her shift, she changed out of her uniform and made her way to the sumptuously decorated hotel bar, its walls paneled with gleaming wood, where she'd set up a tab for the staff on Monsieur Breckman's account. As on most evenings, hotel guests populated the bar. With the exception of the bartender, Acacia was the only staff member in sight.
Good evening, Carlos.
She greeted the bartender in Spanish as she sat inconspicuously at the very end of the bar.
Where is everyone?
Carlos greeted her with a wide smile and replied in Spanish, Everyone from the day shift already stopped by. I have something special for you. She gazed at the rows of bottles wistfully.
What is it?
Champagne. Carlos retrieved a bottle of Louis Roederer Cristal that had been chilling and presented it to her. Her eyes widened when she saw the label.
Are you sure?
The guest chose this vintage personally, and he told me to give you the bottle. Carlos winked. She shook her head at the extravagance, but she wasn't about to reject the gift.
I want to share.
I'm on duty. He looked around the room. She placed a finger to her lips. Carlos opened the bottle and poured a glass for Acacia. Then he lowered the bottle below the bar and poured himself half a glass. Acacia lifted her champagne.
Cheers.
Cheers, beautiful. She closed her eyes as the tiny bubbles filled her mouth. The taste was almost magical. There was fruit and spice and something almost floral. It was an unexpected delight. She opened her eyes and sighed.
It's very good.
It should be for the price. Carlos turned his back to the room and sipped the champagne discreetly. That's good, he said as he turned around. He placed his glass out of sight and reached under the bar. He handed her a gift bag. For you.
For me? Why?
It's from the guest. Carlos nudged the bag closer. Acacia reached into the bag. She retrieved a finely made brioche, wrapped in cellophane and tied with a bow. A tag indicated the treat came from Guy Savard's restaurant.
Is there a note?
She looked into the empty bag. No, but Monsieur Breckman delivered it himself when he chose your champagne. Carlos smiled and moved to the other end of the bar to fill a waitress's order. Acacia thought back to her earlier exchange with the guest, and his surprise at her remark that she'd never visited Guy Savard's restaurant. It was thoughtful of him to bring her a treat from the famous chef. Then she thought of his insulting words about her profession, and the way he'd threatened her. She put the brioche back in the gift bag. She wasn't a psychologist. It wasn't her job to try to analyze guests and their behavior. Breckman's recent actions were at odds with the way he'd been described in the guest records. Clearly, brioche and top-shelf drinks were his way of making amends. But no gift, however generous, was enough to cause her to forget what he'd said. She took her time sipping the exquisite champagne and chatting with Carlos before finding a doorman to escort her and the carefully concealed bottle of Cristal to her motorcycle. At the end of her shift the following evening, Acacia approached the penthouse suite. Two bodyguards flanked the entrance. She stated her name, and one of them repeated the information into a communication link inside his shirt sleeve. Rick opened the door, unfriendly and unsmiling as always. She lifted her eyebrows at him. Without a word, he led her down the hall and into the living room. Monsieur Breckman stood in front of a round glass table. An unframed painting lay on top of the glass. He held what appeared to be a white sheet, which billowed from his hands like a cloud and came to rest on the backs of the chairs that had been pushed flush against the table. The sheet dropped over the chair backs, obscuring the painting from view, but not coming into contact with it. Before he covered it, Acacia caught a brief glimpse of the work. It seemed familiar. She took a step forward. The guest turned and blocked her path.
Mademoiselle?
Acacia found his expression unsettling. His dark brows were knitted together, and he examined her closely. Over his shoulder, she could see a pair of bodyguards out on the terrace. The men had shed their suit jackets, which made the handguns they wore visible in their holsters. Her heart rate increased. Tension radiated from the guest, who continued to watch her. She began to feel as if she'd intruded on something dangerous. Instinctively, she relaxed her body and shook her hands out at her sides. She looked around the room and made note of all the possible exits, should she need to flee.
You wanted to speak with me?
The guest removed a pair of white gloves and stuffed them into the pocket of his suit jacket.
Yes, monsieur.
She dragged her gaze from the door that led to the terrace.
How are things proceeding with the tailor?
The guest crossed his arms.
They're proceeding well. Unfortunately, I've had to cut my visit short. I'll see him on my next visit.
Please let me know if I can be of further assistance on that matter. I had difficulty sourcing the relic you requested.
She continued.
Third-class relics are easy to obtain, but according to my research, the church owns all the first-class relics of St. Teresa. They aren't for sale.
Perhaps.
Monsieur Breckman said slowly. Perhaps you haven't been looking in the right direction. She was puzzled by his subdued reaction. He didn't seem surprised by her report. Instead, he looked as if he were waiting for something. Acacia felt as if she'd been cast in a play and forgotten her lines. The guest stared at her, and she stared back. She wasn't looking at his scar. Indeed, she'd almost forgotten it existed. But her eyes strayed to the gloves, which were hanging out of his pocket. She positioned her concierge journal under her arm.
I would be happy to secure a third-class relic for you.
I want a first-class relic. Obviously, I don't expect to acquire it from the church. The guest rubbed his thumb across his chin. As long as there's a buyer, there's a market and a means of acquisition. This applies to everything, mademoiselle. Everything.
Respectfully, I disagree. The church owns the relics, and they have a policy, one might even say a theology, that forbids selling them.
Again, mademoiselle, you've been looking in the wrong direction. The guest gave her a knowing look. Marcel was extremely creative in his problem-solving. Perhaps you could be similarly creative.
Acacia resisted the urge to respond with sarcasm. Marcel's creativity had probably put him in the hospital. She would not make the same mistake.
I'm sorry, monsieur. As I said, third-class relics are easy to acquire, but first-class relics belong to the church. If you wish, I can contact church authorities.
There's little point in doing that. The guest continued to examine her.
Acacia's attention was drawn back to the painting beneath its shroud. She visualized it in her mind's eye. The brushstrokes were almost impressionistic. What work of impressionism could Monsieur Breckman have in his possession?
He moved quickly and obstructed her view.
Thank you, mademoiselle. That is all. He smiled, and when he spoke again, his voice was smooth as silk.
I'm leaving tomorrow. Rest assured, you'll be well looked after.
Acacia recognized the coded language of the guest's last sentence. He'd leave a gratuity.
My colleague Francois is on duty now. If you need anything, he'll assist you. Enjoy your evening and safe travels.
She faced the hall and took a single step. Then, for some unknown reason, she turned toward the painting. She thought of the Musée d'Art Moderne. A lone thief had broken into the museum a few years prior and stolen five priceless paintings. One of them was by Henri Matisse.
Hadn't Monsieur Breckman mentioned Matisse 2 days ago?
Acacia's eyes narrowed as she envisioned the brushstrokes, hidden from view by the sheet. Monsieur Breckman crowded her immediately, his arms outstretched.
Thank you, mademoiselle. Rick will walk you to the door.
Acacia forced herself to make eye contact, her mind a whirl. The guest seemed to search her eyes.
I believe you told me you pride yourself on being discreet.
Yes, monsieur,
she managed. He leaned forward.
Your discretion will be rewarded.
Rick appeared beside her. He didn't touch her, but began to herd her toward the door. Acacia gave the guest a single backward glance and focused her attention on the carpet in front of her. She ignored the presence of the other bodyguards as she entered the hall and walked quickly to the elevator. She pressed the button and looked over her shoulder. Rick remained in the doorway, watching her. Acacia entered the elevator and pressed the button for the lobby. Her thoughts raced.
Monsieur Breckman is a wealthy businessman whose photographs don't appear on the Internet. He was supposed to attend a meeting Marcel arranged, possibly with someone called V. Before the meeting occurred, Marcel was attacked. Breckman asked me to source a relic and said I should be creative in doing so. Was he asking me to find someone to steal one? He has a large security detail, and what could be a stolen painting. And he wants to pay me to keep my mouth shut.
Once the elevator doors closed, Acacia leaned against the back wall and covered her mouth with her hand. Monsieur Breckman appeared to be in possession of one of the most famous pieces of stolen art in French history. And he was about to leave the hotel with it. Chapter 7 Acacia was cautious. She worried about making mistakes and drawing attention to herself. Monsieur Rat had already warned her to be careful with highly valued guests, which indicated her position at the hotel was not entirely secure. For these reasons, she was the picture of decorum as she bade her colleagues good evening and entered the room that housed the staff lockers. She changed into casual clothes and forced herself to behave as if nothing were wrong. Inside, her stomach rolled. Acacia checked her backpack and breathed a sigh of relief when she realized Marcel's journal was still hidden. Putting the bag over her shoulder, she fled through the back hall past the kitchen to the receiving doors. She burst through them into the alley where trucks and vans delivered supplies. She needed privacy to think, and as expected, the alley was empty. She used her cell phone to search for information about the famous theft from the Musée d'Art Moderne. A few clicks on her web browser, and she was staring at Matisse's La Pastorale, one of the stolen masterpieces. She'd only caught a glimpse of the painting in Breckman's suite, but her memory seemed to match the image on her phone. Still, she took her time searching, looking for news of the stolen painting's recovery. There was no such news. Indeed, none of the paintings stolen from the Musée that fateful evening had ever been recovered. She put her phone in her pocket and hugged her backpack. She recognized the painting. The painting had been stolen. Was this what Marcel's creativity had produced for Monsieur Breckman? Was this why Marcel had been attacked? She squinted at her watch in the dim light that shone from above the receiving doors. Monsieur Breckman was leaving in the morning, provided he didn't change his mind and depart sooner. He was returning to Monaco, presumably with the painting.
I'm a concierge, not a policeman.
Acacia gave careful consideration to the thought, but discarded it. Although she still carried a Brazilian passport, France was her home, and she loved it. The theft of paintings from the Musée had been a national scandal. She wasn't going to allow a rich businessman to leave the country with one of its treasures. She just needed to find a way to report him without making herself conspicuous.
You need to speak to Monsieur Rat.
This thought had merit. But what if she was wrong? The hotel manager would not take kindly to her accusing a highly valued guest of theft, especially on the heels of angering him with her vagueness about Marcel.
If the painting were a reproduction, wouldn't Monsieur Breckman have said so? Why would he handle it with white gloves?
A loud bang sounded behind her. Acacia whirled around, hands lifted, feet planted in a fighting stance.
Sorry.
One of the kitchen staff held up his hands. He was holding a package of cigarettes and a lighter.
I just came out for a smoke.
Acacia straightened and gave the man a tense smile.
I'm heading back in.
She brushed past him and went inside, looking over her shoulder as he propped open one of the doors with a crate. He sat down, lit a cigarette, and inhaled deeply. He blew a plume of smoke toward the heavens, and his shoulders relaxed. Acacia envied him. She gathered her thoughts and realized she had to do something about the painting, even if she just shared her suspicions. Unfortunately, the last person with whom she wished to speak was precisely the person she needed to call. She walked down the empty corridor to put some distance between herself and the open door. She was careful not to come too close to the kitchen for fear of being heard. She dialed a number and waited for the line to connect.
Ma belle!
The man answered on the second ring, his voice a caress.
Look!
Acacia's breath left her body in a rush. She looked around to ensure she was still alone.
What is it? What's wrong?
Luke's tone changed immediately.
Acacia
paused and backed into a corner.
Cassie? Are you hurt?
She closed her eyes. The sound of her old nickname in his earnest, concerned voice caused her insides to twist.
I just finished my shift, and I think...
She paused, uncertain.
It may be nothing. I shouldn't have bothered you.
Footsteps emanated from the phone, along with the loud clang of a door being shut.
Are you at the Victoire?
Yes.
She frowned.
How did you know where I work?
I had drinks with Eve and Veronique the other night. What might be nothing?
Acacia grew flustered at the thought of being the subject of a conversation between her friends and her ex-boyfriend, but she pushed the concerns aside. She had more important things to worry about.
I think one of the guests has a piece of stolen art in his room.
The footsteps came to a halt.
Stolen from where?
The Musée d'Art Moderne.
Luke's voice grew muffled.
What makes you think it's stolen?
It looks like the Matisse.
None of those paintings have surfaced. Are you sure?
No, no, I'm not. I just saw it for a moment before the guest covered it up. It wasn't in a frame. It was just canvas on top of a table. But he handled it with white gloves.
The paintings from the Musée were cut from their frames. What's the name of the guest?
Pierre Breckman, from Monaco. He's a regular at the hotel, but I've never met him before.
Luke grunted into the phone, and Acacia heard his fingers tap against a keyboard.
Tell me everything you know about him.
He's 38. He's a wealthy businessman, but I don't know what kind of business he's in. He comes to Paris several times a year and stays at the Victoire. He was involved with Silke Ragne, a model, until recently. When he's at the hotel, he deals exclusively with Marcel, the senior concierge.
What does Marcel do for him?
Football tickets, dinner reservations, shopping. The guest mentioned a meeting Marcel was supposed to set up, but before the guest arrived, Marcel was attacked.
The tapping stopped.
What?
Acacia checked her surroundings once again.
Marcel was attacked a few nights ago, while he was walking to his motorcycle after a shift. He's in a coma.
The sound of a desk chair rolling and striking something solid echoed in Acacia's ears.
You could have called me?
Luke's tone was censorious.
Why would I call you? The city police told us Marcel was mugged.
Luke huffed.
I'm in the BRB.
That's why I'm calling about the painting.
Acacia resisted the urge to roll her eyes. The Brigade de Répression du Banditisme, or BRB, was a special law enforcement unit under France's Ministry of the Interior, outranking the Paris police. Art thefts were part of their jurisdiction.
The BRB also deals with armed robberies, Cassie. Most muggings don't result in comas.
Acacia heard the sound of quick footsteps through the phone.
I'm not your problem anymore,
she said softly. Luke ignored her remark.
You say the mugging occurred just before the guest and his painting arrived?
Yes. When you saw the painting in the guest's room, how did he react?
He covered it up. He told me my discretion would be rewarded. Then he had one of his bodyguards escort me to the hall.
Luke swore.
Did they touch you?
No.
Did they threaten you?
No, but he implied I should keep my mouth shut.
The sound of footsteps quickened.
Are you at the concierge desk?
No, my shift is over. I'm hiding in the back hall near the kitchen.
Are you alone?
Yes.
Go to the lounge. Sit at the bar and order a drink. Don't allow yourself to be alone.
I need to tell the hotel manager what's going on.
Fine.
Luke's voice was strained.
Tell the manager, agents are on the way. No one is to approach the guest or his suite unless he tries to leave the hotel.
You're sending agents?
Acacia looked around frantically.
I just wanted to ask you about the painting.
I have to report this. You've provided a lead for one of our major cases, not to mention the fact I'm concerned for your safety. Art thieves, like muggers, are usually petty opportunists, buyers of stolen art. Are far more dangerous.
Now it was Acacia's turn to swear. Luke interrupted her.
Tell the manager, the guest will probably try to remove the painting if he hasn't done so already. When did you last see him?
About 20 minutes ago.
Acacia kept the phone to her ear as she moved down the hall and toward the lobby.
It may be too late. Can you see other people now?
Yes, I'm entering the lobby. I'll head to the night manager's office.
She rounded a corner and shifted her backpack awkwardly on her shoulder.
Has anyone else connected with the hotel been the victim of a crime recently, or had an accident?
Not that I know of. Monsieur Breckman has a large security detail with him. They're armed.
How many men?
Luke's voice lifted, and Acacia heard a door close.
6.
What kind of weapons?
I don't know. Handguns.
Stay with the manager, or head to the bar. Act as if nothing is wrong. If the guest or one of his men approaches you, call me. I'm on my way.
You don't have to do this.
Stay there,
he commanded.
I'm in my car.
He disconnected, and Acacia stared at her cell phone, wondering what she'd just done. Chapter 8. Acacia sat at the bar and positioned herself so she could watch the door. She knew better than to involve Luke in her suspicions, but she'd done it anyway. Now he was on his way over, with agents. She took another drink, fearing she'd destroyed her anonymity in one unguarded moment. She wrung her hands as she glanced around. Luke appeared in the doorway. At 5'11", he was only 2 inches taller than Acacia. His hair was sandy brown and needed cutting, and his handsome face was shadowed with scruff. He'd been attractive when they were students, and he was even more so now, wearing dark pants, a blue shirt, and a black leather jacket. He looked more like an actor than a policeman, although he surveyed the lounge with sharp eyes before he entered it.
Cassie,
he murmured as he approached her. He kissed her cheeks. The greeting itself was innocuous. Friends greeted one another like that all the time. But Acacia felt a wave of nostalgia, made all the more poignant by the speed with which he withdrew. She felt her face flame.
Luke, I...
Not here.
He interrupted, his blue eyes focused on hers. He reached in his pocket and pulled out a few euro notes, placing them next to her half-empty glass. He nodded at the bartender and retrieved Acacia's backpack from the floor. As soon as she stood, he guided her to the door. His hand hovered at her lower back, but he didn't touch her. Acacia appreciated his professionalism, but felt an underlying sadness. She'd given him up even though she'd loved him. She'd had her reasons, and they still existed. She needed to remind herself of them.
Is there a place we can speak privately?
He kept his voice low as they walked toward the lobby.
We can go to the staff room.
Acacia glanced around.
But you aren't supposed to be in there.
I just need a minute.
Luke was in policeman mode and would not be deterred. When they approached the staff room, Luke entered first and searched to see if anyone was inside. Once satisfied the room was empty, he beckoned to Acacia. She closed the door behind her.
I called you about the painting because I was worried it was stolen. I didn't expect you to come over.
You're a witness.
He returned her backpack.
I wanted to see for myself that you were all right.
Acacia rubbed her forehead in agitation.
I am in so much trouble. You have no idea what this could cost me.
Luke's blue eyes met hers.
The lead investigator of the Musée robbery is on his way. My colleagues are already in the building, and you're with me.
Her eyes flashed.
The hotel is going to be swarming with agents. The night manager was furious when I spoke to him. My supervisor will be apoplectic.
You did the right thing.
Luke spoke reassuringly.
The night manager is being interviewed as we speak. I can't be involved in the investigation because of my connection with you, but I had to report what you told me.
She crossed her arms.
What happens next?
The lead investigator, Philippe, will interview you. I'll speak to him about assigning someone to keep an eye on you as a precaution. I doubt your interview will take very long, although he may want you to come down to 36 Quai d'Orfèvre to make a formal statement. One of the officers will drive you home afterward.
I have my motorcycle.
Too risky.
Acacia tugged at her hair.
This is bad. This is very, very bad. I should have spoken with my supervisor before I called you. This will be all over the news.
Luke's expression grew grim.
We're talking about possession of a masterpiece, not a case of stolen towels. If we recover it, you'll be a hero.
I don't want to be a hero,
she gesticulated wildly.
I don't want my identity made public. Do you have any idea what this means?
Luke came a step closer.
We aren't going to plaster the name of a key witness all over the media. I've already told Philippe you're a friend. He'll treat you right.
Sure,
she murmured, unconvinced.
Without question,
Luke said firmly.
If you help us close this case, you'll have the thanks of the BRB.
He reached for her, then stopped abruptly. He thrust his hands in his pockets.
I'll make sure everyone understands. You don't want your name in the media.
His expression softened.
I know it's shit timing, but it's good to see you.
Acacia looked down at her shoes.
It's good to see you. How's Simone?
Luke rubbed the back of his neck.
She moved out. That's why I was having drinks with Eve and Veronique. They wanted the whole story.
Acacia lifted her head.
I'm sorry.
Things weren't working out.
He gave her a half smile.
How about you? Are you seeing anyone?
She lifted her backpack over her shoulder.
I work a lot, but I like my job, which is why I hope Monsieur Roy is understanding about having the BRB all over his hotel.
Luke cleared his throat.
Leave it to us. I'll take you to Philippe now.
He gestured for her to precede him through the door. She paused.
I know things didn't end on the best of terms. I'm grateful you came to check on me.
His expression tightened. He nodded. For a moment, Acacia considered turning over Marcel's journal. The longer she held on to it, the more she was in jeopardy of withholding evidence. But the Paris police were handling the investigation of Marcel's assault. She needed to turn the journal over to them. With gritted teeth, she stepped into the hall, and Luke followed. As they rounded the corner to the lobby, Acacia could see the beautiful space crawling with BRB agents. All the air seemed to flee from her lungs. Luke didn't know the source of her deepest fear, or that his actions might have put her life, and the life of her mother, in jeopardy. But it was too late. Chapter 9 Acacia did not sleep well. Late into the night, a BRB agent had driven her back to her apartment. She'd then spent an hour staring at the ceiling above her bed, turning the events at the hotel over in her mind. Finally, she'd given up on sleeping, and made Pao de Queja instead. Shortly before sunrise, she'd returned to bed, exhausted, and slept for a couple of hours. She'd just finished making breakfast, when there was a knock at the door. Claude meowed. Ignoring the cat's peek, she peered through the viewer. Luke stood outside, his hands in the pockets of his leather jacket, his face grim. She picked up Claude and opened the door.
Morning.
Luke smiled at her tightly. She frowned.
It's 7:30.
It's important.
Luke looked beyond her into the apartment.
Can I come in?
Claude meowed unhappily and began to struggle. When Acacia released him, he shot across the floor and disappeared under the bed. She opened the door wider and invited Luke in. He kissed her cheeks, and this time his hand lingered on her shoulder.
What's going on?
She asked.
Have you spoken with the hotel?
He ran his fingers through his hair, which looked as if he'd rushed out the door without combing it.
No, my shift doesn't start until 9. I was just having breakfast.
She gestured to the small table and twin chairs in her efficient kitchen. Luke took a seat, and she poured him a cup of coffee from a press.
You're still wearing your good luck charm.
He gestured to her Hamsa pendant.
I never take it off.
She pulled the edges of her robe closer together as she sat across from him.
Your colleague Philippe wasn't nice.
Philippe is a good detective, but he's under a lot of pressure from the Minister of the Interior to solve the Musée case.
Luke sipped his coffee. She offered him the plate to Bao de Keja.
I've missed this.
He smiled and wolfed a piece of the cheese bread.
I made them this morning.
Acacia wrapped her hands around her coffee cup.
I miss a lot of things.
She drank her coffee, unwilling to engage him.
How's your mother?
He looked over at her.
She's fine. Thanks for asking.
Give her my best.
Acacia nodded stiffly. Luke's gaze wandered over her posture. He looked stricken.
Was I so terrible?
No,
she whispered.
I loved you.
His voice was gentle.
I treated you well. I was faithful.
Yes.
If you were with someone else, I'd respect that. But all these years later, you're still alone. I worry about you, Cassie.
Now her spine straightened.
I can take care of myself. I know that.
He made eye contact.
I don't think you've ever needed anyone. But why should you be alone? You're an intelligent, beautiful woman with a good heart. It isn't easy being an immigrant in this country.
She fixed him with a stern look.
It isn't easy being caught between two worlds and never fitting in. For now, I'm focusing on my career and supporting my family.
He rubbed his hand across his unshaven face.
I worry about a backlash against immigration in this country. Every time there's a terrorist attack in the world, the anti-immigration groups ratchet up their campaigns.
I know. The other day a guest at the hotel told me she wouldn't speak to me because I wasn't a French concierge, and she was from Lyon.
Luke swore.
I'm sorry, Cassie. You're still sending money back to Brazil?
She nodded.
You're a good daughter.
He glanced in the direction of her sleeping area.
I can't believe you're still living in this tiny apartment. The bed is lumpy and it creaks. You could afford something better.
I like it here. I like the neighborhood and I like my landlords.
I forgot about Anouk's parents. They're good people.
An unhappy expression took up residence on his face.
Philippe released Breckman an hour ago. He called me at home to tell me. That's why I'm here.
Acacia put her coffee cup down with a loud thump.
Why did they release him?
Experts from the Musée examined the painting and said it's a reproduction.
Why wasn't it in a frame? Why was he wearing gloves and being so secretive?
They examined the painting they found in the hotel,
Luke clarified.
It's possible he removed the original after you saw it.
Acacia went very still.
Will he come after me?
He's supposed to be leaving Paris today. He wasn't told you were the witness, but he's probably figured it out. You'll have someone shadowing you for the next few days, just in case. And I'm only a phone call away.
She touched her pendant absently.
What about the media?
There's a media blackout. The press knows something happened at the hotel, but they've been told simply that the BRB was following a lead. No one will mention your name.
He stretched his hand across the table, and Acacia squeezed it.
Breckman was cooperative, but you should be careful. The attack on the other concierge is suspicious, and according to a contact of mine in the Paris police force, they don't have any suspects.
I think we're missing something.
Luke nudged her arm.
No more Commissaire Magret, Cassie.
She laughed at the mention of her favorite French detective.
That's fine with me.
She offered him more cheese bread.
Thank you.
Luke took another piece.
I agree we're missing something,
so I pulled Breckman's records.
What did you find?
You'll have to keep this conversation confidential. Philippe knows I'm here, and that I'm telling you Breckman was released. I'm not supposed to be pulling his file, and I'm certainly not supposed to be telling you about it.
Acacia frowned.
You know I can keep a secret.
He chuckled ruefully.
That's why I'm risking it. I didn't find anything unusual in Breckman's records, but you saw his security detail. Why would a legitimate businessman need so many men? Why would he hide a reproduction of a stolen painting and tell you your discretion would be rewarded?
Luke shook his head.
Organized crime has been known to use works of art as payment or insurance. The more powerful the crime boss, the smaller the footprint. He can afford to have others do the dirty work. Monsieur Breckman didn't seem like a crime boss, but I guess it's possible.
Acacia pushed her hair back from her face.
What should I do?
Her cell phone rang, interrupting Luke's response.
Excuse me.
She crossed to the counter where her cell phone rested and answered it.
Hello? It's Céline at the Victoire. Monsieur Roy is requesting you meet him in his office at 8:30.
Acacia cleared her throat.
Did he mention the reason for the meeting? No.
Céline's tone was smug.
That's all. Goodbye, then.
Acacia disconnected and placed the phone back on the counter. Luke rose to his feet.
Work? The manager wants to see me before my shift.
Luke combed his fingers through his hair.
I'll take you. I can take a taxi. My motorcycle is still at the hotel.
Luke placed his hands on his hips.
I'm not letting you walk in there alone. I'll take you to the hotel, and then I'm going to look around. Thank you, but no. I'm capable of getting myself to work. Breckman is still there. If I take you to work and make my presence known, it sends a message. How many people know about me?
Acacia clasped her hands together.
Only those involved directly in the investigation, apart from me.
Luke stuffed his hands into his pockets.
Do you want to stay somewhere else for a few days? You could call Eve and Veronique. No, they live too far away from the hotel.
He lifted his shoulders casually.
You could stay with me? Absolutely not. You didn't even consider it.
Luke frowned.
I'm not infected with plague. It's kind of you to offer, but we both know that's a terrible idea.
She unclasped her hands.
Fine. If you see something suspicious, call Philippe or me. Did he give you a card? He suggested I program his number into my phone. I did that last night.
Luke cleared his throat.
Am I still programmed into your phone?
A long look passed between them. Acacia turned and disappeared into the bathroom. Chapter 10 Luke insisted on parking his Renault illegally in front of the hotel. He opened Acacia's door and helped her to her feet, guiding her toward the front door. Acacia eyed the doorman before she whispered,
I'm supposed to use the service entrance. You're using the front door today.
Luke flashed his identification to the doorman, who scurried ahead to open the door. When Luke and Acacia entered the lobby, a frowning reservation agent greeted them.
Don't bother changing into your uniform,
Céline said, ignoring Luke.
Monsieur Roy wants to see you immediately.
And you are?
Luke held his identification under her nose and began asking a series of pointed questions. Acacia didn't bother to restrain her smile as she turned away. At that moment, Monsieur Breckman exited the elevator with the security detail. Once again, he wore an expensive black suit, paired with a white shirt and black silk tie. A man Acacia did not recognize stood next to him, speaking very insistently in hushed tones. Luke abandoned his interrogation and positioned himself in front of Acacia. Monsieur Breckman's eyes met Luke's, and his eyebrows lifted. He made no effort to approach Acacia, but his gaze sought hers. He stared at her as the man next to him continued to speak. Breckman gave no indication he was listening. He didn't look triumphant or arrogant. He seemed worried. He glanced at Luke and gave Acacia a very unhappy look. Then he and his entourage turned and walked toward the back entrance to the hotel. Once they were out of sight, Luke touched Acacia's elbow.
I'm going to follow them.
Acacia mumbled her thanks before she walked to Monsieur Roy's office. She rapped on the door.
Come in, Acacia.
The manager didn't rise from behind his desk when she entered his office.
Good morning.
She waited for him to offer her a seat. He didn't. Instead, he sat back in his chair and regarded her with small, beady eyes.
I spent last night on the telephone, explaining to my superiors why the hotel was swarming with BRB agents last night.
I'm sorry, monsieur. I'm sure that was upsetting.
Acacia adopted her most sympathetic tone.
Upsetting?
Monsieur Roy's normally pale face reddened.
Are you familiar with the employee handbook?
Yes, monsieur.
Apparently not. Because if you'd been familiar with the handbook, you'd have known it was your responsibility to inform me of any suspected illegal activity in the hotel.
I informed the night manager.
The night manager is not me.
He slammed his hand on top of the desk.
You called the BRB. You might as well have engaged an anti-terrorism unit. Guests were panicked and upset.
I am truly sorry, monsieur. I contacted a friend who happens to work for the BRB simply to ask about the painting I saw in Monsieur Breckman's suite. The BRB recognized the painting from my description and came over, hoping to recover it.
And did they?
The manager's tone was mocking.
No, they did not. You discommoded a highly valued guest, failed to follow proper procedure, and caused an extreme amount of embarrassment. Not only to the company that owns the hotel, but also to me. And you did all of this because of a reproduction.
Acacia folded her hands.
Monsieur, I'm sorry for the inconvenience, and will be more than happy to apologize to all the affected guests. But time was of the essence. I was worried the painting was genuine, and that it would never be seen again.
This isn't the first time you've caused a problem.
He glared.
I've grown tired of your attitude and your insubordination. Go home. You will be paid for today's shift, but starting tomorrow, you will work the night shift. I've decided to switch your schedule with François. He'll be working days from now on, in Marcel's absence.
Acacia gasped.
But I've always worked the day shift. You're demoting me?
The manager smiled.
Of course not. That would be illegal.
You will still be a concierge. You will simply be working the night shift. A formal reprimand will be forthcoming in writing.
The next time you commit an infraction, you'll be dismissed.
Dismissed?
Acacia moved forward.
Monsieur, you can't punish me for doing my civic duty.
Perhaps not. But you can be reprimanded for not following procedures. I am the one who will decide whether to contact the authorities, not you,
he said with a huff.
In view of what's happened, you may wish to search for other employment. I understand your work permit is tied to your contract here?
Yes.
Acacia swallowed.
Please, monsieur, this has been a misunderstanding.
I understand precisely what's happening. Report for the night shift tomorrow evening.
The manager opened a file on his desk and began to write in bold, angry script.
Go home!
Chapter 11 Acacia was so rattled by her conversation with Monsieur Ra that she agreed to spend the morning with Luke. He took her to Notre Dame and walked with her around the great cathedral, a favorite pastime of theirs when they'd been a couple. He even accompanied her to the house of Eloise and Abelard. Then he took her to lunch at one of her favorite cafes in the Latin Quarter. He drove to her apartment building and accompanied her to the front door.
I can stay,
he offered. The light in his eyes shone unconcealed hope. She shook her head.
I'm fine.
Slowly, oh so slowly, he leaned forward, his hand cupping her cheek.
You're my biggest regret.
She grimaced,